Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
4 yogurts for $1?
Yeah, 4 yogurts for $1. It was on sale. I was like, oh.
It's about like a dollar for like quarter. Well, I guess it's a quarter
it's
of yogurt.
It's a quarter of yogurt. Yeah, pretty much. So I get home and I'm like, I'm all excited and proud of myself, like unloading all my yogurts in stacks. And this was August 20th when I bought these. And I start looking at the labels. It's August 21st, August 21st, August 21st. I had bought 12 yogurts that were going to expire the day after, or like the sell by date was the day after. So I.
This is what I'm saying. You gotta, the second a deal like that comes along and it involves yogurt, alarm bell should be going off in your head.
I think you personally. Oh God.
Are you eating the bad yogurt? Down that rabbit hole? Wait. No, I think we know the real question. Did you eat all the
I did step up my yogurt consumption, but I'm on the I'm on the last one today.
Shut your mouth. You did not eat 12 yogurts in one day.
No. I ate like
that's 4 yogurts a day.
4 a day for 3 days. I
ate 3 a day for 4 days and I shipped my wife off with 2. So
where is Sydney telling you not to do this?
I'm trying to eat through this value yogurt that I bought. It's none of her concern. This is man's work. It's a man's business. I replaced some of my meals that I would normally eat as a not yogurt meal. I replaced them as a yogurt meal. Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name's Dave Tack, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant. I'm a lumberjack, and that's okay.
My name is Russ Rustic, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome, friends, to the Besties, where we pit the 4 hottest games of the week against each other to find out which one reigns supreme. We then pit that game against our current reigning champion to find out if it will unseat it as our favorite game of the year. Chris Plant, what is our current favorite game of the year?
It's Sound Shapes.
Sound Shapes on the PS Vita. We got a hot week. This week is popping off, and I have a good feeling about this week that it might just get unseated. That's what I think.
Really?
It might? Who knows?
I don't know. So, you're the commissioner, Russ. Who's going to start us off?
Well, actually, before we start it off, I just wanted to go off on a rant briefly.
Oh no. Strap in, everybody.
No, this is I want to talk a little bit about Counter-Strike Source, which is not one of the games we're bringing this week.
Wait, Counter-Strike Go?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Counter-Strike Go, the new Counter-Strike.
He's gonna get all
Counter-Strike
confused.
Source only came out like 8 years ago. Counter-Strike Go, so I was kind of excited for it. I'm not a huge Counter-Strike fan, but I like shooters and I was going to play it on the 360. And then I heard they block party chat in the multiplayer on the 360. You can't use party chat. You have to use game chat. What that basically means is you're stuck listening to morons and idiots instead of just like people you know while you're playing multiplayer. And I just can't fathom a world in which this makes any logical sense.
Now, this is not a new practice, right?
The last time that I've heard of anyone doing this was with Modern Warfare 2. They blocked it as a means of like stopping people from cheating and stuff like that. And there are certain very specific modes in Modern Warfare 3 that do it. But for the most part, party chat is free and wild. And it's fantastic because you can talk with people before you're in the game and coordinate to like get everyone in the same game. But here, everyone's in game chat. You can't talk to any of your friends that are already in the middle of a game.
Oh, I know another. Dark Souls.
Oh, Dark Souls does that?
Yeah, Dark Souls would just Dark Souls boot you out of the game.
Yeah, will boot you out of the game for activating
and
party
it's just
chat.
Like the most infuriating thing. Anyway, I complained about this on Twitter and all I got was, oh, you should be playing on PC because it's a PC game. Guys, They made it on 362. There's no reason I need to play it in front of my computer hunched over. I can play on my couch and chill out. This stuff drives me up a wall. Valve, please let Party Chat back into the fold. It'll make me so happy.
They won't, though.
They won't.
I mean, it's a competitive game. Like, the whole idea of it is
to... I know, but, like, what percentage of it is people just wanting to have fun versus people wanting to, like, KD ratio the hell out of it?
Well, it's probably...
I think if you're playing a game for fun, it is not Counter-Strike Go.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing, is they are purposely skewing to that audience.
Anyway, it makes me angry. And with that out of the way, I thought we'd start with Christopher Plant. Christopher Plant, what kind of game you bring this week?
I brought a game that I think you will be pining after.
I just want to say one quick thing. No. So I'm recording out. No. I'm recording no. from Chris Plant's
don't.
House.
Don't.
And Chris don't. Plant.
Don't.
Literally.
Don't.
Just pulled up a page don't. Of tree puns. Just brace yourselves, guys. Anyway.
Yeah, you've really sapped the fun out of this.
Oh, God.
I'm going to use some of these while he's doing it.
Okay. I'm ready to start.
Did you say oak A?
Yeah. Okay, guys, just leave me alone. Okay? So, the root of the fun in my game is chopping up trees. It's a game called Jack Lumber. It is by Owl Kami Labs.
Is that a pun
that's
or just, is that...
That's actually okay. their name. That's not a pun. And it's kind of like a slow Fruit Ninja. Some things pop onto the screen, and then the second you touch the screen, you can chop through everything. You have to do it in a very quick amount of time before time runs up, and you have to cut specific lines, like kind of shapes, or you have to double cut, or you have to cut through things in a specific order, or there's even like dynamite to blow up trees. But the ultimate goal is still the same. Cut everything on screen, accumulate the most points through combos, finish a round.
Yeah, I'm really fond of those games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Something about a maple tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll not make a joke about it, you know?
All right, you're I'm dead.
Yeah? Listen, all I'm saying is those who cut down trees don't necessarily believe in the future.
Okay,
so the point of the game is that, we covered the point of the game. The great thing about this game is it's basically a Ren and Stimpy-inspired video game. The art style looks exactly like John Kay's. There's all this like kind of like kitschy art design. There's lumberjacks. There's a beaver that talks to you. You accumulate animals. The fact that you're cutting logs is one giant nod to the log board game or the log song, if you've listened to or watched Ren and Stimpy. And I loved that show as a kid. So it was kind of a nostalgic, I don't know, it tapped into that for me. It tapped.
Was that intentional?
That wasn't intentional. It was just good. Man, that was astonishing. Astonishing. Ash, like an ash tree.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's a simple game. I don't know. Does anybody have any questions about it? There's not a lot to talk about other than it being simple.
Is there any sort of gameplay to it that separates it from, you know, your Fruit Ninja?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not the same game. Fruit Ninja is one of those games that you can play endlessly because it's the same thing every round. There's no levels or anything. You're just, you know, seeing how much you can cut time after time. This is specific levels with like very specific types of logs that you're cutting, and the goal is to cut increasingly difficult types of logs and use these sorts of like exploding logs or like windy logs or time freezing mechanics to complete harder and harder levels.
It sounds more like a more strategic Fruit Ninja.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with an actual like a cool art style.
And it has like some interesting in-app purchase twists. Like a lot of times these games can be spoiled by people buying bonuses in the game. Like, you know, like, oh, you get additional time freezes or things like that. And you have that option.
Holy God. Wow. Disgusting.
Sorry. So one of the options in the game, though, is you can earn or acquire beards, which make the game much more difficult, but they reward you with free in-game cash. So if you actually have skill in the game, you can acquire everything that you would otherwise pay for with real money pretty easily and quickly. So it's a good in-app... I don't know. Sometimes I feel like skilled people get pushed out of iPhone games because they can just be kind of bought out of the leaderboards by people who are willing to spend all that cash. And there's not an option for people who are good at the game other than spending money too. And this kind of solves that problem.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well,
now, what's the cost of the game?
I believe it's on sale, I think, for like 99 cents. Maybe
it's $1.99. It launched at $1. But that was sort of a temporary sale. I'm not sure what exactly when the show goes up.
It's $1.99 right now.
It's now $2. Would you say it's worth $2?
Easily. Duh.
I would also recommend you read Chris Plant's more full-featured review of the game, which went up on Polygon last week.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to bark about it.
Okay.
Facepalm.
I hate your guts.
Hey, it's not my fault I'm so popular with iOS reviews.
Okay, I can't.
Yeah?
Justin McElroy.
What's up?
Did you play a game?
Yeah, I did.
Or did you not have time because life's a birch?
Okay. I do. Damn, that was a good one. I do want to I want to make a couple of super quick recommendations that are not the games I played this week. The first is an app called Pocket Casts that I got, two words, and it is a wonderful replacement for the official podcasts app on iOS if you've been looking for something like that. So
I use something else, though. I don't
what
use
do you
that
use?
One.
What do you go
I with? Use Downcast.
Now, I heard some good
really
recommendations
really
for that, too.
I'm a Downcast guy, too.
Well, I will have to give that a shot. That was simply my recommendation that I wanted to give you. And also, I want to say if you have a PC... you should get 30 Flights of Loving and Gravity Bone. There are two games from Blendo, and they will take you each about 15 minutes to complete. And they are pretty much revolutionary in terms of storytelling, and I think they're amazing. I didn't want to bring them this week because you could spoil them fairly easily by talking about them for any amount of time. So
I do one quick question about Gravity Bone. Any relation to Monkey Bone?
None.
Because I'm a big fan of Monkey Bone, the movie.
Well, yeah, who isn't? I don't think there's any relation. No, my game this week is Hybrid, made by the people who brought you Scribblenauts. Hybrid is a third-person shooter. It is cover-based, and it takes that to the extreme, by which I mean that your character doesn't move freely through the environment. He only can, I'm assuming it's a he, it may be a she, I don't know. It looks like a robot. So your character moves from cover point to cover point. You select a cover point one that you is within visual range. You put your reticle on it, you press A, and he uses his jetpack to hover towards it. You can still shoot while you are hovering between two points. You can retreat to go back to the point you left, and you can press the left stick in to give yourself a quick boost. You can also switch the point you're heading to mid-flight. And I say that only to highlight, like, those are the only locomotion options you have. So it creates basically paths and choke points, and I think helps to keep the action moving quite a bit. It, for me, takes the emphasis off of the things that I don't like in a shooter, or things that I feel like I struggle with, knowing the right places to be at the right times, and looking around to try to figure out where the other entrances and exits and all that stuff is. This makes it a lot easier to deal with, and I was actually doing pretty well. I had an even kill death spread, which for me is like really good. for a shooter that I actually just started playing. I mean, just started. There's some interesting experience. You know, you'll unlock you perform little missions, you get experience. You use that experience to increase your rank, and as you increase your rank, you get weapon unlocks where you can unlock one weapon in a certain category. So maybe when you make Sergeant, you know, you get a helmet unlock or a shotgun unlock. And you can choose any of the shotguns and unlock them, and then you'll have them. There are also many – there are missions you can complete sort of secondary to your primary objective to get more experience. The sort of more interesting thing – and I say interesting, but I don't necessarily want to connotate that as good or bad – is that you can use real money to speed up those unlocks. You can pay for gold that you can use to either just straight up unlock a weapon, or you can use the gold to get a 3-day or 5-day boost of your experience, the rate at which you get experience.
So the equivalent of like what Call of Duty did, where you like bought Doritos and got double XP.
Yeah. That's except you don't get to eat delicious Doritos. Oh. Yeah, which is too bad. I mean, you could buy Doritos, but it's not going to help you. Anyway, I think the it has a lot of really cool weapons, which was very appealing to me, and the sort of outlandish nature of some of them really do help you to go with whatever play style fits you. Like for instance, I'm not great at aiming and shooting a guy. So I got a gun called the Gambler, where if you get the person, then you will kill them. It is a one-hit kill. But it only has one bullet in the chamber. It takes a while to reload. And there's a slight chance that it will explode and kill you. So for me, that's like, oh, that's great, because that's like, you know, I don't have to worry about firefights. If I lose, you know, if I don't have the person dead to rights right from the jump, then, you know, that's on me. But at least there's another, you have one weapon that you take into the battle and one ability. And of course you can change those with your loadout. But again, that's another thing I like, 'cause it helps keep you focused and, driven on towards a certain role, help you fulfill a certain role. There's a one ability, for instance, that lets you detonate yourself and you explode, killing every enemy in the surrounding area, even if they're behind cover. So, you know, depending on what
you're... Wouldn't that, like, drive you nuts, though?
Yeah, I feel like you'd just be a sad sap.
What do you mean? Oh, God. Oh, Plant's still doing that. No, what would drive you nuts? You mean if you're on
if you're on the other side of that. Is there any way to combat that? It sounds like, well, not to bring up Call of Duty again, but everyone hated Martyrdom for a reason.
Well, I mean,
which is the one where you drop a grenade when you die.
Well, this is not, I mean, you have to trigger it, and you do lose your life. I mean, you die when it happens. So
I know, but there's so many people out there that like don't care about anything but making other people miserable. That to like have a feature.
Well,
in
okay.
The
other thing
like,
about it is that if so, you are. When you're behind cover, you're safe. You're super vulnerable when you are when you're in.
You
the
just air. Said you could die when you when they exploded.
No, let me finish. Okay. You're super vulnerable when you're flying through the air. So if I see a guy over there and I'm gonna go do I'm gonna go self destruct and try to kill him, I have to fly towards that guy, where in which he has ample opportunity to kill me. I mean, he could just not let me get close. If he lets me get close and then I use the ability, that's on him. But yeah, so there's counters to that sort of thing.
So what I like about this game, and one of the things, so I really liked Gears when it first came out, Gears of War multiplayer, because it was cover based and it like felt really tactical and sort of sounds similar. But what ended up happening with Gears was that people adopted this like new way to move around the environment, where they're just like constantly like rolling and diving and locking onto cover to like speed up their movements, and it sort of ruined the game for me, because it like got rid of the tactics and turned it into a twitch shooter. And I guess theoretically that could happen here too, but it sounds like getting rid of like the more complicated movement elements
can't cheat the system,
might level the playing field a little
bit. It's like what is it called, snaking in Mario Kart, when people figure out a way operate the game in the way it was not intended to be.
Yeah, I'm really good at snaking.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting, because there's a great trade-off, I think, between the cover and the movement. Because you're so safe in cover, except for the fact that pretty much all the environments are very open. So it's not hard for someone to get the jump on you if you're waiting. When you're in the air, you're super vulnerable. So it is sort of this part of – I mean, it's built into the game that you're going to have periods at which you are just a sitting duck, basically. Which is interesting to me, and I think it is a nice balance. The other thing I like about it is that it's 3v3, which really is very – helps me to, like, sort of understand what's going on and keep track of the action and have – give it sort of an ebb and flow, you know, without ever feeling like I'm completely getting swarmed or up against a completely, you know, undefeatable force. But
is there party chat?
You know, I don't know. I don't really play video games with people.
Certainly hope so. It's worth noting this was the game that was, like, completely busted at launch, right?
Yes. Yeah, apparently this is just, like, not working at launch.
That's a crime.
And
it's a real shame.
It is a shame. But I have to say, I have had quite a bit of luck finding matches with people who are a comparable skill level to me, which I think is good news for people who are thinking about getting into it, because you know, the game's in trouble if you start getting paired with, like, level 50s, and yeah. So far that hasn't happened. So
cool. Anyway. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
I might try it.
Yeah, it's,
Plant
it's
might try it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's worth checking out. I do not, as a rule, enjoy multiplayer shooters, and I really dug it. So I would encourage you, if it sounds like something you might like to enjoy or absorb into your body.
The only thing that kind of turned me off was the Acorn-y art style.
Good one, Chris Plant.
Okay. Well, I want to die, so let's talk about literally anything else.
Well, so has anything been going on in anyone's lives? What the hell is that?
I watched Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that some more.
Only 40 years too late.
Yeah, the movie's good.
Pretty sure no one needs insight on a movie that came out 40 years ago.
Has anybody seen this movie?
Tell me about it. Tell me more.
Man, it turns out Vietnam was crazy.
It all worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, not really.
No? No? It wasn't all great?
Well, I mean, the movie didn't fill me in on, like, what happened with Vietnam. So, well, the verdict's still out over there, but...
I think it went okay.
I don't think it worked out well for Colonel Kurtz.
No, he's fine.
He survives.
Spoilers.
Do you know the weird thing about that movie is that you do see an animal get killed on screen.
That's weird.
That was upsetting.
Maybe it's special effects.
No, it was definitely an animal being slaughtered on screen.
Well, maybe, you know, it's hard to say. Maybe it might be special effects.
Dave Tack, have you been on any adventures lately?
Gone to Sheets?
I have gone to Sheets.
You had breakfast there, I saw.
I was taking pictures of donuts.
You know what I want you to do? I want you to get a Foursquare account. I want you to only check in when you go to Sheets.
Here's Dave Tack, the king of Sheets.
You act like there's somewhere else I go other than Sheets.
Dave Tack,
I just like the image. Like, you work from home, Dave. So you basically, like, in the morning, it's like, okay, here I go. Off to the gas station to get my breakfast.
That's better than me. I'm eating expired yogurt.
Four expired yogurt.
Four expired yogurt.
I hope you just dumped them into one bowl.
Yeah.
See, I know how funny that all sounds, except that it happens to be true. And now I just feel terrible.
The best part about it is that you Instagram it.
Dave Tack is, Dave Tack is the moodiest Instagrammer in the world. He can make literally anything look sad. You know that scene in Parks and Recreation where Ron Swanson and Andy have to fulfill April's assignment to shoot something sad, and they start, and Ron starts shooting random objects, like, there's a sad floor, there's a sad desk. That's how Dave Tack does with everything on his Instagram. He can make anything look so sad.
He uses X-Pro. It's his favorite filter.
That's how he sees the world, maybe.
Wait, what's your filter?
No. The my new thing, I'm in my black and white phase now.
Uh-oh.
And I'm using an app on iOS called Hueless. H-U-E-L-E-U.
Hueless.
I believe it's pronounced Huelas.
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 Yeah, so everything is super high contrast, blown out, black and white.
Oof. Even the sheet sandwiches, you can't get, like, I would, they're so colorful.
You couldn't capture them in color.
Yeah.
No, because it would be gross.
Before sheets came to my area, someone convinced me that the sandwiches, you order the sandwich on a TV screen, and then someone hands it to them. Before they came to my area, I had been convinced that it was robots, that robots made your sandwich. You put an order in, and then a series of robots constructed it. And
is that far from the truth?
Yeah, they got, like, humans.
Well,
teenager robots.
I mean, they're dead behind the eyes enough that you could pretend they're robots, but it's not the same thing.
We just lost all our sheet sponsorships.
There we go.
I want to hear about something happier from Dave Tack, though.
Yeah, something happier, like a game starring death. Dave Tack, what are you bringing this week?
I played Darksiders 2. Or I am in the middle of playing Darksiders 2, and it is awesome. I love it. Did you guys all play the first Darksiders?
I really like the first one. People, I think, are a little more lukewarm about it, but I really dug it.
I only had one problem with it, was that thing at the end where you had to put together the weapon. That's where I bailed on it.
I don't even remember that part. Oh, it was like a Zelda style.
It was the backtracking.
Yeah, you had to backtrack through the whole god game.
I still love Darksiders, the first one. I don't think it was perfect, but I think what it did very well, and it chose to focus on only a few things, and that made it a lot of fun. It was also, I think it's worth mentioning, very much a Zelda game, but it didn't feel to me, or I guess anybody who actually likes it, like it was a ripoff. I think it walked the line.
It was definitely inspired, I would say. Mm-hmm. But not so much. I wouldn't say it was a clone.
The same way Batman was inspired by that in Metroid.
What?
Batman Arkham City, or Asylum, is just...
Just because it's gear gating?
It's gear gating. You go from one dungeon to the next, collecting the weapon that will get you into the following dungeon.
I don't think that's cloning, though.
I didn't say clone. I said inspired.
Yeah, but you said it with an air of sophistication.
Just because I'm a sophisticated gentleman.
Anyway, Dave Tack, what were you saying?
He can't help it. Anyway, I actually did a start-stop on the first Darksiders a while back and only finished it a couple of months ago. And it was, you know, so it's all fresh in my mind. And now, obviously, Darksiders 2 is out, and I think the easiest way for me to say it is that it does everything you want in a sequel, where it retains all the stuff that they got right the first time around, and then it mixes in some combination of the stuff they didn't have time to do and some cool things that they thought to do afterwards. So, practically speaking, I said I like the simplicity in the first Darksiders. They limited, you know, there was a limit of really three weapons that you could sort of do some minor upgrades to. They had an opportunity to sort of blow that out of the water and make it super complicated here, and they don't. But what they do is they give you, for example, tons of similar weapons, but with different buffs and different perks on all of the weapons that you're sort of finding after you kill everybody. So there's a moment in the game where you're always using the same type of weapon, like your scythe or your, you know, a hammer or things like that. But you have choices between all of these different things, and, you know, some of them will get you health when you, you know, after kills, or somebody will buff your, some of them will buff your strength or your defense.
So it's effectively just, like Diablo mixed in with the original Darksiders.
Right. So it's got the combat, which I think was probably the best part of the first Darksiders, which is very simple, very focused, very, you know, combination of X, 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 X. Y, X, X, Y, Y, you know, very...
Whoa, take that from the top.
It doesn't... X?
Okay.
Okay, there's... Okay, first of all, there's an X button.
Okay.
Then there's a Y button.
Whoa, spoilers.
But the problem is, like, Ninja Gaiden? Gaiden? How do we pronounce that?
No one cares.
Good. Ninja Gaiden would increase the difficulty, or increase the power of the weapons attacks by making them... as the weapon leveled up, 30 button presses long. And in Darksiders, it made the button presses 4 buttons long. Or, you know, the combination to pull that stuff off. So you didn't have to you know, sit down and study the moves. It just became very fluid, very fun, very, just as I got more powerful, I actually got to use the combinations and the new moves that I got. It's exactly like that in Darksiders 2. So they focus on that combat while giving, making the range of options bigger.
That is actually an interesting, there's always an interesting divide with action games where not always but a lot of times with these melee focused games where the point at which it becomes advantageous for you to learn combos is negated by the difficulty of the enemies. Like you just don't need to, you find, you know, six or seven short combos that you can cheese your way through, and there's really no point or value in learning some of the more impressive combos. Right. Sleeping Dogs is like that. The combos never get much longer than four or five buttons, and most of them are the same button in sequence.
Right, yeah. And that's what I think makes the Darksiders formula work so well, is that the powerful combos aren't complex. They're still easy and still fun to pull off. They took out, for example, and I think this is deliberate on Volition's part, because did I say Vigil Games? Because I said Volition. It's Vigil, right?
Yeah.
Vigil made the game, yes.
Okay. Well, sorry about that.
That's okay. I just edited it. I forgot to edit it.
But, like, they took out... There's no block, as far as I can tell, in the game.
Is there, like, a parry?
Yes. And it's super responsive and super effective.
I love sequels, but I had a problem with the ending when he gets put in carbonite. Yeah?
What are you doing to that?
He's honestly tripping balls.
Why are you destroying the show? Why are you trying to...
Dave Tack, serious question that doesn't involve Chris Pine at all.
Go for it.
The only thing I love more than Party Chat is costumes. How are we doing on costumes in this game?
Well, they don't call them costumes per se. There's a bunch of armor that you're picking up. It's not just weapons they're dropping. It's armor, and basically you're customizing the look of death.
So it's not just like a stat difference. No, there's like a visual difference.
Yeah, there's a cosmetic difference too. So, like I said, to my mind, it's exactly what you want out of a sequel, where they retain the good things and they add in stuff without, just like the combos, without making it too complicated.
And the horse is good?
Oh, the horse is always good.
Yeah. Did you know when Queen Elizabeth was 9 years old, she was interviewed by a magazine, and they asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up, and she said, "I should like to be a horse."
That's a real thing. That wasn't one of my jokes. That was Russ.
See, I guess dreams don't come true even for queens.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's why she was so sad at the Olympics.
Anything else you wanted to say about the game, Dave Tack?
Game of the week.
Game of the week.
That's it. Yeah. Anyone else have any last minute pleas for love and respect?
No, I'm excited. I feel like these are three top flight titles that anybody could enjoy. I would have to say, though, as much as I've been enjoying Hybrid and I have not myself played Darksiders, I think that the appeal of Darksiders is probably wider ranging. I think Hybrid is $15. That's kind of a crapshoot, I think, it's kind of a high investment for a multiplayer shooter that may or may not even be like sustainable in a month.
Yeah, I'd agree. That sort of does happen.
I mean, I'm enjoying it now, but I got a free code for it, so I like, what do I know?
But who's to say, in a month, there could be no one playing.
And that's a terrible line of reasoning, because it,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. Precisely. Right. But it also underlines the need for some sort of free-to-play model on the 360. I mean, if this game was free-to-play, it would be great. It would be... The easiest recommendation in the world would be Tribes.
Well, there's a demo.
But structurally, whether or not you have fun in a demo now does not represent whether or not the game will still exist in a month. And if you had a free-to-play game, then everybody could get on board. It would be completely sustainable, and I just don't see that model of a $15 multiplayer only shooter makes a lot of sense on XBLA. I don't know. For $15.
It's a bit of a crapshoot. Chris Plant's game sounds also good.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a good game, you could leaf these other ones aside.
No. Loking?
Oak, like a
Oaking. No. How about
you
we
leaf these other ones on the side?
He did close the window, so this is him shooting off a hip.
You could.
I think we should turn.
I think you're right. We're branching down a lot of paths here.
Chris into Deadwood and leaf his body by the side of the road in a ditch. How does that sound?
That sounds lovely. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Dave Tack's game.
Yeah.
I think I'll admit I'm a little biased because I do really like the first Darksiders. And I do really like Diablo, like loot stuff, and everything that I've heard about the game is rather cool. So, hooray, Dave Tack!
Congratulations. Thank you. I feel good. This is my first win. I would like to, I guess, first of all, thank.
Okay, moving on. Is this game going to best sound shapes? First off, have any of us played Sound Shapes?
I have,
and also I'm going to say no.
No.
For okay. Here's a big reason. Because I hopped on Sound Shapes, and my concern was that it's a user to catch everybody up really quick. It's a platformer game that you can create levels for, and in creating those levels, you also create music, in part.
Okay,
that's like rough idea about it. The problem that I feared was no one would create anything good. Obviously, I vastly underestimated the internet because while it was a little dry the first few days, there are now some incredible levels up there. I mean, some really, really good stuff.
So I looked on there the other day, and all I could find from like the top downloaded were like one screen levels were just like the Mario theme played.
Yeah, that is the problem, is that they haven't updated their webpage yet. So you actually need to know who to be looking for.
Who should we be looking for, Chris Plant?
I will put a link to his stuff on, or a few of them stuff, in the blog post.
Okay.
So people can look for it there.
Fine.
But there is some really great stuff. So they still have some work ahead of them. I think they need to fix up the website in terms of getting, you know, eyes on the best stuff. I also think they're already running into the problem of these levels will all look the same because the only assets available to the people are what is within the kind of four grand art themes of the main game. There's ways to kind of cheat that system. But it's a lot tougher. It requires a lot of elbow grease to get it done. But for now, it is exceptional. I mean, it's a great game.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you, Chris Plant. I really like Sound Shapes. I find it charming and enjoyable. As a platformer, which at its core, it is a platformer, it's not amazing. It's good, but not like Alien Mutant Blobs Attack good.
But I'd argue that it's not a platformer at its core. I'd argue that it's a music game that uses...
But that's like saying Little Big Planet's not a platformer.
Oh, no. Because Little Big Planet actually... The whole point of Little Big Planet is the platforming. The whole point of this game is the music.
And the platforming.
That's the secondary part.
Anyway, does anyone else feel strongly one way or the other about Sound Shapes versus Darksiders 2.
I haven't played either one of them, except that I know that I would probably like Darksiders 2 more.
I feel like Sound Shapes has had its day. I'm sure it's great.
I don't think, but Sound Shapes hasn't gone long enough. Okay, here's the question for me. I think Darksiders is probably just as good a video game as Sound Shapes, which is a crazy comparison. It makes no sense. The question is Sound Shapes good enough that we want to hold on to it long enough to put it into the Hall of Fame?
I say yes, because I don't see Darksiders competing at the end of the year, but I see Sound Shapes, depending on what is created by the users, possibly having a good comeback towards the end. It will be the game that I actually remember from this year.
Okay.
Okay, I suppose.
I think that's legit, and I think it's legit that Darksiders 2 is certainly enjoyable, but is probably not is probably more of a known quantity. Maybe that groundwork was already sort of in place from the jump.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then Sound Shapes will retain its title as our favorite game of the year. I imagine at this point we would almost have to put it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, next
when week. It, when it eventually is unseated. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Before we go, does anybody have any idea what they might be bringing next week?
I'm bringing a PC game, something.
Something PC?
You're not going to have... Chris Plant wants to build a PC between now and then. That is absolutely not going to happen.
I think Rock Band Blitz is out next week.
Yeah, I don't know. We're almost at September, and things will really start picking up. Cracking. But right now, it's... Hope you like iOS games.
Anyway,
I think I'm going to bring Griffin.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Dave Tack, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
Thank you, Dave Tack.
Congratulations on your being a big wiener. And thank you for listening. If you'd like to see some of our writing, you can go to theverge.com/gaming. Soon that'll be at polygon.com, but it's not quite there yet. Follow us on Twitter @Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, Facebook/Polygon. And so much more. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to join us again next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?